Former member of the Eagles for 27 years and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member since 1998, Don Felder was the lead guitarist who originated the music for and co-wrote Hotel California, the Eagles' biggest hit. He now has his own solo band and will be playing at the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey this Saturday, March 21st.
Hey, this is Don Felder.
Yes, Mr. Felder, how you doing? This is Ryan Gottlieb.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much for calling in today. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to do it. I'm just sweltering out here. It's 93 degrees in California today.
Oh, you're killing me.
No, I hate to tell you that bad news, but it's really hot out here.
Wow. I'm in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Can't say it's quite the same. So most people know you from the Eagles, but I'd like to focus mainly on your more current work, beginning with your most recent solo album, 2012's Road to Forever. First off, it's a great album.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to make that record. I brought in a lot of good friends to help me out on that, and I actually really enjoyed making a record for a change.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your friends and guests soon, but I just wanted to say it's very diverse lyrically, in that it ranges from lighthearted in songs such as Girls in Black to more sentimental in Give My Life. Was that a conscious effort to write a wide range of lyrical content, or did you write more how you were feeling in that particular moment?
Well, I really approached that record as far as writing a large kind of table or palette to choose from. There's a lullaby on there that's very kind of lighthearted and, you know, sweet, and then there's like some harder rock, and then there's some stuff that with Crosby, Stills, and Nash on it that sounds a little Eagle-esque. There's a wide variety of styles and lyrics and messages on that record as well, which I intended to do.
And even with the range of lyrics, a lot of the songs are pretty rockin'. I mean, is that the style of playing that comes most naturally to you?
That's what I do. I love rock and roll. I've played it since I was 10 years old. It's kind of my forte.
Right.
It's why I was brought into the Eagles in the first place, was to, you know, add a little more rock and roll to their pocket and to their record. And so, of course, my record's going to sound like it's rock and roll. I would expect that from me.
Of course, yeah. When you're writing songs like that, do you write typically a guitar riff first, chords first? Is there a approach you normally use, or is it just depend on the song?
Well, I really write a lot of different ways. Like, when I'm sitting on an airplane flying from point A to point B, I usually have a laptop, and I'm writing lyrics, song ideas.
Mm.
When I'm sitting, riding down the freeway in L.A., I'll be singing a melody into my iPhone. Or if I'm sitting at home with a guitar part and I've come up with something, I'll either turn on my iPhone or go into the studio and record a little clip of it. And I assemble these little pieces of lyric, melody, and guitar parts. And then whenever I get enough time to actually sit down and concentrate on those, I pick 15 or 20 of what I think would become the best shot at making good songs and good records, and I flesh them out. I put flesh on the bones of those skeletal ideas, and they become records.
Very cool. And you mentioned your iPhone, iPad, so I guess modern technology makes it a lot easier these days.
Well, it really helps. You know, I did the same thing, whether it was a cassette machine or a four-track tape recorder that I wrote the demo for Hotel California on, just sketching, sketching ideas out like that to see what they sound like. And so I still follow that same procedure, whether it's the digital idea or digital mode or old analog stuff. As long as you get the idea down, you've got it, you know?
That's the most important thing, absolutely. And as you mentioned, you had Crosby, Stills, and Nash on the album. You also had Randy Jackson on bass, Tommy Shaw from Styx, among others. Did you hear those guys in the songs as you were writing? How did all that come together?
Well, Randy Jackson came in. Very few people know that Randy is like an incredible bass player.
Right.
He's just one of the best bass players in L.A. And the song that he wound up playing on, I had two other bass players make attempts at overdubbing bass on it, and none of them really worked. And I said, I know who the perfect bass player is for this record. It's Randy Jackson. So we sent him the tape, or the file. He overdubbed it in his studio and sent it back, and it was just unbelievably mind-blowing, his performance.
That's
great. Just fit like a glove.
That's so cool. Because, yeah, I mean, you forget how good of a bassist he is after American Idol and all that stuff.
Yeah, you don't think of Randy Jackson as you think of him as the dog dude, not necessarily an awesome bass player.
Exactly.
Worked with a lot of big acts in his life. You know, he is. He's truly a great musician. So.
Right. And you had a lot of great harmonies, I mean, as always, and especially on this album as well. Is that something you had to work on as you were growing up, or is harmony something that always came naturally to you?
You know, I was, everybody in the Eagles had fronted a band of their own at some time or another. So I had fronted a band, I had played backup in the Eagles and sang backup and stuff. So I was really comfortable doing either or, but for this project, I really had worked for quite a few years prior to recording this record, in order to get my vocals and singing ability up to where I wanted it to be when I recorded this record.
Because, yeah, I mean, the harmonies are on point. It sounds great.
Well, thanks. Yeah, there's some great singers on the record, like Tommy Shaw, Crosby, Stills, and Nash came in and sang on a track. Timothy Drury, who's the keyboard player in my band, so another great vocalist that was one of the accompanying musicians in the Hell Freezes Over tour. There's a lot of great singers on this record.
Right, so I'm sure they push you in a great direction when you're doing harmonies as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't be the only slouch in the group.
Absolutely not. And a song like Road to Forever has a lot of tempo and key changes. Do you do things like that to punctuate certain lyrics or feelings in a song?
It originally started out as an acoustic song, and then by the time I got to the verses, I wanted it to rock, and Leah actually helped me write the vocals for the bridge.
Your daughter,
and then
Leah?
Leah did, my daughter.
Right.
And then I wanted to kind of calm back down into another little acoustic pocket, and then build from there out into like a really strong kind of rock ending on it. So, yeah, I wanted it emotionally, tempo-wise, and the difference between acoustic and electric to vary throughout the whole track.
Right, because the beginning of the song starts slow, and you're not expecting that that big jump into the rock. So it's a very nice change. I liked it a lot.
That's why you leave it unexpected. You have to do the unexpected.
Exactly. Was that the first time collaborating with Leah or someone from your family?
No. Leah and I have written a bunch of stuff together, mostly for her records and her song ideas. And since she was about 8 or 10 years old, she used to come into the studio and I would make demos for her to sing, whether it was like a Sarah McLachlan song or something for her to sing and get used to hearing her voice on mic and actually recording. So it's turned out to be something we've done together a lot and enjoyed a lot doing it together.
Very cool. And now she's doing her own thing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the your upcoming show at State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey, this coming Saturday, March 21st. Will you be playing songs from your solo work as well as Eagles tunes?
Yeah, I do. A large part of my show are songs that I either co-wrote or recorded and performed with the Eagles for the 27 years that I was in the band. I do, I think, 3 new songs from my CD. I do heavy metal. I do a song called Pride and Joy that's a salute to Stevie Ray Vaughan that gives me a chance to just play the blues and kind of step outside of being, a regular guitarist and just play. So it's a real wide variety of music in the show. But by the end of the night, everybody's up on their feet, dancing and rocking to the last 4 or 5 songs, which are usually like Heartache Tonight, The Long Run, Life in the Fast Lane, Hotel California, Take It Easy. Those songs are just like everybody knows those songs. So we end the show kind of that way.
Right. So it's a good, it's a nice diverse range of songs throughout your career, which is great.
Absolutely.
And I personally love theater shows. Do you approach these types of shows differently than like a really big venue?
I don't particularly enjoy the really big venues for a couple of reasons. I think the people that are past about, 25 to 30 yards from the stage and the PA really get kind of shortchanged by the sound having to carry that far.
I agree.
And it's usually affected by the ambience of the hall or the room or the hockey rink or the stadium. It's just not a great audio performance. A smaller theater like the State Theater is just perfect because acoustically it's designed well, and it's really fun. You can see and hear almost everybody in the place. And you get a very intimate kind of impression and feel working with these people at that size venue. I prefer that, to tell you the truth.
That's great to hear. I prefer that, too. And do you talk more with the audience at venues like that?
Yeah, it's quite a symbiotic relationship we have with the audiences as far as the response to the songs and the participation with the songs. at the end of the show, I usually come out to the front of the stage and sign a bunch of stuff and,
oh, cool.
and take photos and, you know, just enjoy having some people there that really appreciate me being there. So I enjoyed as much as they do, and so I like to share that moment with them as well.
That's very cool. And how big is your touring band? Are you playing with any notable musicians?
Everybody in my band has an unbelievable pedigree. They've played with just about everybody you can imagine. Like, my bass player is a guy named Shim von Schreck. He's a operatically trained tenor.
Wow.
He sings opera in Italy, in Italian, which I can't even speak and pronunciate. My quest read it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just a soaring tenor. Works with Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins. Brilliant guy. My keyboard player, Timothy Drury, was with me during the Hell Freezes Over tour as an accompanist. He's worked with Stevie Nicks. He was in a band called Whitesnake for about 3 or 4 years. Unbelievable keyboard player, great singer. The guy that plays guitar with me is a guy named Greg Sharan, plays with the B-52s and the Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, everybody in the whole outfit just got a very serious pedigree. There's no kind of bar band players in the band.
No,
you know what I mean?
That sounds amazing, yeah. And do you guys ever improvise or jam out on stage, or you keep it more pretty structured?
No, there's some jams there, absolutely. There's about 3 or 4 spots during the show where we just kind of stretch out and have fun playing together and not necessarily have to stick verbatim to the record, which is, you know, everybody likes to hear the classic verbatim, but there's some places in the show where we get to step out and jam, have fun.
It's nice to always hear different live renditions, so I'm sure it changes things up for you as well, which is good.
Well, the energy with this new band, even on the old songs, it's just fantastic. The way it's performed, the intensity, the professionalism, vocals, everything is just spectacular. So we're going to bring some California sunshine to you guys back there.
I certainly hope so, yeah.
Have a great time, and we'll warm up the East Coast.
Nice. That's what it's all about. And you mentioned playing Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy. Are you a big blues fan?
You know, I grew up idolizing B.B. King. I got to meet him when I was 14 and see him play live at that same time. And so he had a huge influence on my career, my early years. Kind of got my roots in rock and roll along with everybody else from everything I could steal from B.B. King or Albert King. And if you look back at Clapton, he accredits all of his stuff to B.B. King and Albert King. And they were kind of the genesis of the early rock and roll electric guitar players.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned B.B. King, because I actually had a chance to talk to Derek Trucks, and I asked him if he could jam with anyone who he hadn't jammed with yet. He mentioned B.B. King, and he actually did get the chance to play with him. So I actually wanted to ask you that as well.
I've never played with B.B., and I've admired him since I was, like I said, 14.
You're right.
I'd love to be able to play with him on stage. I was doing a bunch of dates last year with Frampton, and some of the guests were B.B., and some of them were me, and I was trying to get Peter to have B.B. on the same shows that I was on, too, but it didn't work out that way, so I would love to be able to play with B.B.
So we're going to see your Gibson double neck guitar?
You will indeed, yes.
Okay, good. And why did you start playing a double neck in the first place?
Well, when we recorded Hotel California, I played so many different guitar parts on the record, starting with the acoustic 12-string introduction and then the reggae parts and the descending harmony parts and the solo parts, that I couldn't figure out when we got on the soundstage how I was going to play all those parts without changing guitars in the middle of the song all the time. So I came up with the idea of using a double neck and wiring it as 2 separate guitars. So when you switch from one neck to the other neck, it goes out of a separate output to a different playback rig. One goes to a Leslie and one goes to my regular pedal board and guitar amp. So it's actually 2 independent separate guitars that I'm playing.
Wow, I never realized that. That's pretty cool. And are they tuned the same, or do you have them tuned differently, or just going through different amps?
They're tuned differently. The 12-string is tuned and capoed on the 5th fret,
uh-huh.
And the other regular 6-string is tuned standard without a capo.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's smart thinking.
uh-huh.
And you're playing some dates with the Doobie Brothers in April. Are you playing with them as part of their band?
No, there'll be three bands on that show. There'll be an opening act, myself, and the Doobies.
So, okay, cool.
We've already talked about sitting in with each other, having somebody come and sit in with me, and me sitting in with a song or two or them. But it'll be my full band as second bill on the show, and then the Doobies will be headlining.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a great bill then.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you mentioned you've been playing guitar for so long. Do you still find it necessary to practice?
I play every day.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's something that if you put down for too long, you just lose the fine touches that are required to be able to execute as well as I want to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in playing, I don't necessarily sit and just practice scales and play the same song. I explore. I try to take the instrument through new places, new tuning, look for new song ideas, just play freely. And that's where a lot of the creativity comes out, is from that free playing.
Absolutely. And is that, like, when you say play freely, are you just playing chords? Are you messing around with riffs? Are you going through different modes? What's that like?
All of the above.
Nice. Very cool. And do you still practice things like the solo in Hotel California, or do you just know it so well by now?
We usually do enough shows and a sound check every day that I wind up playing it twice a day, every show.
Wow.
So on days off, I don't necessarily feel that I need to sit down and practice that solo. I could probably play it while I was sleepwalking at this point.
That's what I assumed, yeah.
I enjoy playing it. It's a really fun solo to play, and it's a great time playing it. I enjoy it.
Are there any new artists you're listening to?
Well, you know, I really enjoy people that write, sing, and play, that are great singers, that write their own material and play their own accompaniment, whether it's, you know, somebody playing piano and singing and writing, or somebody playing guitar and singing and writing. I think you can find great singers, you can find great songwriters, and you can find great musicians that play. But to find all three in one artist is really a difficult task to come. It's like doing a hat trick, you know. It's like having all three elements in one person.
It really is difficult to find these days, yeah. I saw that recently you attended and played at an event supporting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's a really great cause. Is this something you've been a part of for a while?
Yeah, I do a lot of charity work, whether it's for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital or for Autism Speak or for cancer research. I was given a talent, a gift, and I try to use that gift as much as I can and as often as I can to really help people that need help, whether it's medical support, homeless people, women's battered shelters, children's research, whatever it is, because I love playing. And if I can go out and play music, have a lot of people have a great time with the music, and the money go to somewhere that really benefits those people that need it the most, for me, that's hitting a home run in center field, you know. It's as good as it gets for me.
That's a great outlook to have, and that actually reminded me of, I see so many pictures of you smiling as you're on stage. It truly looks like you're so appreciative and grateful for being able to play as a musician for a career.
You know, I look at playing music much like you would watch a child at play. There's a joyous exuberance in a child that's having a great time just being a child and having fun and playing. And that's the way I feel when I get to play music. I feel a great amount of joy and enthusiasm and just love that feeling of playing music. That's what started me, you know, when I was 10 years old, and it's still what's propelled me through to today. It's not about the fame. It's not about the money. It's not about any of that stuff. It's really about enjoying what you're doing. And I've enjoyed being able to play music for many decades, and I hope I can continue to do so.
That's amazing. Very well said. Well, Don, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really, truly appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Hi, this is Don Felder, and you're listening to WDIY.